Today on the Travel Guys.
In the travel news, while many countries are dropping mask and vaccination requirements, some are not. And some are reinstating masks, including some destinations right here in the U.S. We have an update on the confusion next in the news.
Airbnb is changing their cancellation policies, and in our Smarter Traveler segment at 3:20, we update you and offer a reminder about flexibility when you're traveling this summer.
Speaking of Airbnb, at 3:35, we introduce you to a service that can help you get important background information on your vacation rental before you make a reservation or a deposit.
And if you're a baseball fan and you don't want to drive to the games in Oakland and San Francisco, there is another way to go. And at 3:50, we tell you about this company that's been taking people to ball games for over 40 years.
Thank you for giving us an hour of your time on a beautiful Sunday afternoon. We'll do our best to make it a good investment. We are the Travel Guys.
On the road again. Just can't wait to get on the road again.
To Alaska, to go north, to rush your soul.
Welcome, everyone, to another edition of the Travel and Entertainment Guys, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. It's a beautiful, breezy Sunday afternoon. Welcome to the program. Mark's over there. I'm over here. And by golly, it's, National Tourism Week.
It is. Today is the first day. Mr. Clayton Whitehead reminded me before he took off on an airplane, bringing a bunch of people back from Virginia and Dulles. So they're in the middle of a 5.5-hour journey across the country in the middle of an aluminum tube. Oh, joy.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Tourism. You know, that,
tourism.
If you don't know what that is, you would think, you know, I think I had that once. I took some medication, and I'm better now.
Do you know the tourism industry, taken as a unit, is the third largest employer in the country? If you take them individually, you know, hotels, airlines, things like that, three of them land in the top 12. So it is a pretty big deal. And over the last 2 years, people haven't been able to move around, do the kind of things they usually do, especially in the summertime. Also, we mentioned this a couple weeks ago, they're trying to get still the temporary workers who used to be allowed in here for the summer without any real issue. A lot of resorts and hotels, especially in remote areas and stuff, rely on people who come from foreign countries to make money during the summer and then leave. These folks are folks who, you know, they don't have any intention of breaking the law and trying to figure out a way to stay here. They're on a program that allows them specifically to come here for 12 or 16 or 20 weeks and work, and many of them come back year after year. So that's become a little bit of a contentious thing for some reason in Congress the last couple of years. So the problem is that these are jobs kind of like the back of the house jobs we've talked about that people don't really want. Americans are not really willing to take. So we have to find somebody to do those jobs and to do them at a wage that won't bankrupt some of the places that are paying them. So kind of an interesting situation there. Anyway, Tourism Week, get out and spend some money, plan a vacation. Do something like that. Take a hotel person to lunch, you know.
There you go. Well, all right, my friends, at the top of every Travel Guys radio program, we bring you up to date on what's been going on in the travel news. And with the latest, here's Mark.
Well, you might think that masks are over with because not too many people are wearing them, just folks with, you know, compromised immune system and it's kind of a if-you-want-to thing. Same thing with traveling. We talked last week about how, in with my experiences last week, not very many people were wearing masks, and as the week went on, fewer. However, here's the deal. Portuguese government has reinstated its entry rules this week. Sorry, not their mask rules. A negative PCR test no earlier than 72 hours before departure. and in some cases a negative antigen test less than 24 hours before departure. So Germany has extended until the end of May coronavirus rules for entry into the country. If you fly in, you must show proof of vaccination before departure. Ditto if you're connecting through hubs in Germany like Frankfurt or Munich. BART in San Francisco has reinstated a mask mandate for riding its trains, which will continue through July the 18th. So if you don't have a mask, you can't get on a BART train. You get on a BART train without a mask, and one of their BART officers are there. It's going to cost you $250. So anyway, the point of all of this is that while it may look like that masks are completely gone, as we've kind of emphasized here in the tourism world, masks are still a part of the program in many cases and in many places. And we have another COVID variant, which has reared its head in Europe and will be here soon. And it doesn't, it's like the last one, it doesn't seem to be making people really sick, but it's easy to get. So, you know, you could get a cold for a couple of 3 days. And for those for whom this is a serious thing still, have to be careful. Here is a survey from YouGov America taken on April the 18th. So this is pretty recent. And there were two other ones that kind of aligned with this. Do you support or oppose the U.S. government requiring passengers on public transportation to wear face masks? All of these are adults. Strongly support 42%. Somewhat support 21%. So I put those two together and get 63. That support on some level mask wearing. Somewhat opposed 10%, strongly opposed 19%, so that's 29%. So you can say roughly 2 in 3 are in favor of some sort of masking rules on public transit, and roughly 1 in 3 don't want to, and 9% say they're not sure. So anyway, it's just kind of I don't know what it all proves, but what it really proves is carry a mask in your pocket. And the other thing is, don't give people a lot of grief. If they ask you to put a mask on, just put it on. I mean, we've all been through this for a long time, and everybody's tired of it and done with it and all that stuff. And so let's just assume that if somebody has asked you to put one on, that they've got a logical reason for it, and just move on. Doesn't change your life. Americans, right. Flight attendants, thank you, sir. Americans flight attendants have made a rather interesting request to management. According to Travel and Leisure, they have asked that a 2-drink maximum be placed on people sitting in coach. No mention of people who are sitting up in the forward cabin. So apparently the flight attendants believe that they're much more likely to get assaulted by a coach passenger than a first-class passenger. I have no idea, I mean, what to say or whether this is, you know, I mean, but apparently this is, they asked.
You know, there's got to be a little bit of data that was inputted there, so for them to make that request.
Well, yeah, probably so. You know, they brought back in-flight alcohol service, and people are behaving themselves a little better on planes, and now they don't have to wear masks. I'm guessing a lot of this confrontation stuff is going to be over. But the union, it's the flight attendants union that asked them to do this. Did you know that flight attendants are not paid until the door is closed in many instances?
Only recently, when I think I saw that story pop up, it started talking about how that they're going to start paying them in advance, not just when the door closed. And so that's when it was first revealed. So up till now, I guess they were working for free when they were boarding me onto the plane and all of that?
I guess. I mean, they must make a tremendous amount of money while the plane's in the sky, because otherwise, I mean, if it was a 42-minute flight and that's all you were paid for and you had to be at the airport, you know, an hour and a half early and, you know, get dressed and, you know, all of the things that you have to do to go to work, and then after work, get to your, you know, you're on the road, so you're not at home or connect. I don't know. Anyways, it's interesting how they've figured all that. Yeah, Delta now, because they're the flight attendants are talking about becoming unionized. So Delta's saying, well, you know, maybe we could relax some of these things. Anyway, we were talking about masks a moment ago. Let's shift a little bit here. The Field of Dreams, which has been a tourist attraction near Dyersville, Iowa, ever since the movie came out, which has been, what, a quarter of a century ago. The owners of the Field of Dreams have sold the property. They have sold it to a group called Go the Distance, which includes an old Major League Baseball player named Frank Thomas, who played for the White Sox. Anyways, they are going to expand the site for youth baseball and softball tournaments. And Major League Baseball came, you know, last year, and they're planning on coming again this year. The Cubs and Reds are going to play a game. So good for them. Only thing I would say is that there was something magical at driving your car up into a parking lot that maybe held 15 or 20 people next to this little baseball field in a cornfield in the middle of nowhere in Iowa. And you could walk up, and if you didn't have a glove, there were gloves and baseballs in a little box, in a wooden box behind the backstop. And you could get them out and go play catch on the field or something like that if that's what you wanted. So when they're done with all of this $80 million expansion and all that, I just hope that you can still walk up to that field that was in the movie with the iconic house in the background and still take your own glove or borrow one of theirs and have a catch there.
I hope so. I you know, they've got to be trying their best to preserve the field. You know, we don't want it to turn into, you know, I thought you were going to tell Disney about it, and next thing you know, it's going to be an amusement park.
Yeah, well, I mean, if Dyersville is a really small town, and the field is outside of town. So it's, I mean, you have to know how to get there. I mean, I guess maybe now there'll be signs and all of that kind of jazz. But in the past, you really had to know where you were going, because otherwise you could get lost on your way out there. Inflation is impacting the U.S. travel industry pretty dramatically. You know that things are costing more at the grocery store, but for the travel industry, things have been really a little bit more dramatic. Hotel rooms, for example, year over year are up 29%. 29, that's almost 30%. It's a hotel room that cost $100 a year ago, on the average, costs $130 now. Airfare up 22%. Rental cars up 22%. Transportation up 21%. These are all in the top six of inflation-related items. Nothing really down close to the bottom, that alcohol, medical care, education, nothing that really involves tourism, unless, of course, you get beat up while you're out there, then medical care, I guess, would kind of kick in. But anyways, so if you're getting ready to travel this summer or you've been lining up some travel and you're thinking, wow, things are expensive, I'm in the travel business, and all I can tell you is, wow, things are a lot more expensive. We're all hoping that supply and demand will level off sometime later this year, and some of this stuff will level off with it. But for right now, it's grab your ankles and kiss your wallet goodbye. United Airlines has altered their cancellation policy for basic economy fares for the first time, allowing customers to cancel their tickets. So it does come with a fee, but you can cancel your ticket now and not lose the whole value if you are on the cheap and you have a basic economy ticket, which is the lowest ticket on United Airlines. That's their compete with Frontier and Spirit airfare. A new reservation system at an iconic Diamond Head State Park on Oahu is going into effect on May the 12th. So if you like to go to the park, one of the favorite things for folks to do is to climb the trail at Diamond Head, so it's become very crowded, and so now you'll have to have a timed reservation in order to be able to enjoy Diamond Head. Speaking of Hawaii, the Pride of America from Norwegian Cruise Line is sailing year-round voyages in Hawaii for the first time in over 2 years. Seven-day itineraries that include overnight stops at Maui and Kauai. Ship was rescheduled to return to service in January, but had postponed it twice. But now if you want to take a cruise around the islands, you can. And finally down here, I had that story that Delta and the flight attendants that we've already talked about. Oh, and here's one more. Flexibility with your travel credits. United Airlines announced this week that travel credits that were previously set to expire December of 22, some of those which are left over from 2020, will now be good for another year. So why they did that, I have no idea. They just magnanimously jumped up and offered to extend your credit for another year. So that's kind of awesome. If you have a United travel credit, it is now with United Airlines, it's now good until the end of 2023. And that's your travel news for today.
And we are the Travel Guys. Don't forget now, travelguysradio.com, links to our special guests and the travel news can be found there, travelguysradio.com. All right, if you happen to have been an Airbnb customer over the last year, and you had opportunities to read the fine print. Certain kinds of cancellations and things were available. Well, guess what? Things are changing. And we'll share with you the changes coming up next here in our Smarter Traveler segment on the Travel Guys. You come from a land down below. All right, Mark and Tom, the Travel Guys. I want to thank Luis Aquino for running the controls for us today as our regular board op, whoever that might be from week to week, is gone. So, Luis, good to have you back. Everything's sounding great as usual. Mark, let's take a look at what's going on with Airbnb. What do you have to share to our with our listeners to make them smarter travelers?
Well, we're seeing some of the things that were relaxed, some of the cancellation rules and booking rules, things like that, that during COVID's peak that didn't make sense anymore. Some of those that were relaxed for people are now being tightened back up again. This one is a little bit puzzling, though, because COVID is still out there, and you know what is it? The Giants have got three or four players on the COVID list right now, and you get it, and so then you've got to isolate yourself, and you're not supposed to be running around in public giving it to everybody else. And of course, there's still a percentage of people who get it, and it's worse than just a cold. So you know they're down. If you were planning on traveling or something like that, you might not be able to travel. It's still pretty prevalent around the country. So it's interesting. After May 31st, Airbnb is changing their extenuating circumstances policy. They said in a blog post last week that the time was right to make the change as a result of a new way of living since the pandemic began. Hosts' typical cancellation policies will apply after the policy change. So then they go on, and there's a bunch of BS stuff here. And basically what it comes down to is that no more will you be able to show a positive COVID test within what would have been a cancellation period, and that make you eligible for a refund. If you get COVID and you can't travel, then too bad. You will still be charged by Airbnb. Airbnb did point out that almost two-thirds of their active listings offer moderate or flexible, words of their using, policies, although none of those options provide refunds for last-minute cancellations. The company said the more forgiving policies that I just talked about let guests receive a full refund if they cancel at least 5 days before checking in. So they say two-thirds of their properties allow you to cancel within 5 days with no penalty. That's great. Some only require 24 hours notice. I might suggest to you that the COVID thing tends to come up. You know, I mean, you don't know that you're going to have it next week until you have it. And then we all who have to share the airplanes and, you know, the shuttle bus, the car rental place and all those things with you, we would rather that you not travel if you have COVID just because you want to save the cost of the hotel or the Airbnb reservation. So this is a little strange because most places, while they aren't advertising it, they're still allowing people, if you can prove to them that you were supposed to be there for something and you've got COVID and here's the, you know, certificate from the doctor that shows or the positive copy of the positive COVID test, then they'll let you out of it. So it's a little strange to me that Airbnb is jumping off the bandwagon so quickly. Maybe it's because they've gotten pressure from some of the people that they do business with, but it just seems to be me to be a little bit soon that something like this a couple months from now could be good, but maybe they're feeling that it's being abused and they're being proactive before the summertime.
You know, Airbnb, an online company that helps you connect with people that own private property. They had a private home, and they're you know, using Airbnb to be the go-between. It seems to me that in regards to rules, in regards to cancellation and all of that, should be determined by the person that is renting the property. You know, they should have a say-so as to what they would accept as a fair cancellation and reasons for cancellation, and not the parent company, Airbnb, making changes or demands on your behalf. How is that working?
Well, they'll know This policy is going to go into effect at the end of May. So, like I said, it seems like it's a little bit ahead of the game. But obviously, Airbnb is making a calculated call here that at the end of May, they feel that COVID is no longer going to be a huge factor in cancellations or people needing to cancel at the last minute. What concerns me is people who know that they're positive are asymptomatic and say, well, you know, let's just go ahead and go anyway. And that to me is that's going to be a little bit, people who are about to risk to lose $1,000 for 5 nights of a vacation rental. So they've decided that they'll just go and infect everybody else because after all, they're not that sick. So that would be part of my concern. Here is just one other thing. Chris Elliott had an article in the Washington Post. I can't let you read it online because they have a firewall to get to post articles, but I wanted to share it with you. Chris talking about, you know, we've emphasized, I don't know, here for probably a year and a half about the F word, the word flexibility, if you're going to travel right now, and that still really applies. And the reason it applies is before we talked about flexibility because a lot of places weren't open or weren't full service because of COVID. Now everybody is trying to be open. Not everybody is full staffed. Not everybody, airlines, weren't ready for to be besieged by all of these people that who could have predicted that when COVID was over, all these people would want to travel, airlines. And so here now we are trying to all travel at once. Some places are still down on staff. A lot of people have new staff. You go into attractions and things like that. So I really want to emphasize to folks that if you're about to hit the road or even if you're traveling in a group or you're going on a cruise or something like that, don't be surprised if something doesn't go exactly the way it's supposed to. And don't be surprised if it's not something fairly important, because that's just the way it is in the travel world right now. If you're not willing to accept that, it's probably better to sit out the summer and start traveling in the fall. Just a word to the wise.
There you go. All right. Speaking of Airbnb and property rentals, we have a special guest that'll join us right after the news. We're going to talk about a way that you can find out way more than you ever could before about the people that are renting to you. That's coming up next here on The Travel Guy. Stick around. Mark Hoffman and Tom Romano, we are the Travel and Entertainment Guys, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. A link to our special guest that we're going to speak with here in just a moment can be found at TravelGuysRadio.com, so check it out. Mark, we're going to talk about vacation rentals. We've done this on many occasions, and you've rounded up for us someone who very likely can help save people a lot of grief when it comes to, you know, that blind vacation rental deal.
Yeah, this is somebody our buddy Chris Elliott referred me to. When you're renting, you're doing a vacation rental, and you're going through Airbnb or VRBO or whomever it is that you choose to use to access some of the properties, they're going to know a little bit about you, but what do you know about them? I mean, are you stepping into a house where three people were murdered last week or, or where the Wicked Witch of the West just fell on the roof, or, you know, what's going on there? So this strikes me as a way for consumers to protect themselves and be better informed. It comes with a little bit of a cost, but as do most good things in life. George Janelle is our guest. He is the CEO of Smart Renter. George, welcome to The Travel Guys.
You bet. It's mysmartrenter.com.
And we will put a link to your website at on our site at travelguysradio.com. So as the interview progresses here, if you think George has some information that might be of value to you, why you can follow up by going to our website. So, George, explain to me the service that you provide.
We feel that you should know who you're going to rent from. The landlord usually, you know, knows who you are, or the agent will know who you are. You're going in blind, and you have no clue who you're renting from. On a vacation rental, for all you know, if the property isn't listed, you could be showing up at a vacant lot.
Which has happened on occasion.
Yeah, that would not be a good thing.
The other thing that has happened is that you could show up at a rental that is not for rent. And I know somebody who has a rental who went to do work on his rental, and there was a family vacationing there who rented it on Airbnb.
Oh, boy.
And it was never for rent.
So, George, obviously, this is a service that would work really well for somebody who was thinking of buying a home or renting a home. You know, you're going to move in on a full-time basis. But for folks who are just looking for a place that they're going to drop their head for a week or 2 weeks or a night or two or something like that, you mentioned to me before the interview started that you don't necessarily have to know the name of the person that you're renting from in order to utilize your services. Do you need to know the address of the property, and in some cases that's not always available? Help me understand how this will work for someone who is looking at doing a vacation rental, and what information do they need to have?
If you're looking for a vacation rental for a week or a few days, you should really know the history of who owns the property. So it doesn't matter if it's 3 days or if it's a one-year lease. You're taking a risk.
We're talking with George Janelle. George is the CEO of Smart Renter. You will be able to find a link to his website, mysmartrenter.com, at Travel Guys Radio. We're talking a little bit about the concept of being able to know a little bit more about the person that you're renting from before you rent from them. So, George, if folks are paying you for a report on a place, what type of information are they going to find out?
They're going to find out who the owner is. They're going to have the owner's emails. They're going to have the cell phone numbers. They're going to have a copy of the deed that verifies they're the owner. They're going to know whether or not the person has a criminal history and what the charges are. They're going to know whether they're on a sex offender list. They're going to know if they have, if the property is in foreclosure or if there's any liens, judgments, bankruptcies. They're going to know if their owner has weapons permits. They'll know everything down to a speeding ticket. It's all a safety. It's all prevention.
Well, let me ask you, without you giving away your secrets for research, what is your method of being able to, in general, finding out the kind of things you're talking about that a person couldn't do on their own?
We innovated a system that was credentialed with the credit agencies, number one. Two, we utilize thousands of data sources that are both paid and free. Mostly paid. The sources that we use we're credentialed to use that are the same ones that private investigators and police departments use. All of our searches are national. You're not going to be able to do that.
So utilizing your services will give folks access to a lot of things that they wouldn't be able to access on their own or would have to pay for. And you've pulled all of those things together in one place. George, how long has your company been around?
We've been around 2.5 years. We started the company 3 years ago when I came up with the concept after we had an issue. And then I did some research and I realized that nobody checks the owner. Nobody thinks about a landlord's background. They're just used to giving, you look at a property, fill out an application, which has your social security number, driver's license, bank account number, and everything. And then maybe you Venmo a deposit, and it's to someone you've known for 30 minutes who's on their best behavior.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
They're a stranger. They're a stranger, and that's the way it's always been.
That's true.
Nobody thinks about renter safety.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. Until Chris Elliott forwarded this to me and said, you ought to talk to George. This is something that certainly I had never thought of, but it makes completely logical sense. Why, if you're going into someone's private residence, their home, their apartment, whatever it is, and you're going to stay 1 or 2 or 3 days, or you're moving in with all of your cats and dogs and stuff, why would you not want to know a little bit about that person? Because after all, you're going to have some interactions with them. And as you've pointed out here, George, in our conversation, you don't want somebody showing up at your doorstep who is not somebody that you're expecting because they live there or they used to live there or God knows what. So this sounds like something that would really be valuable to consumers. There is a cost associated with it. We have a link to George's website.
I'll give your listeners and your readers a different discount code if they use the discount code SMART40, they'll get 40% off.
Okay, excellent. We'll post that on our website with your listing. George, thank you so much for a few minutes of your time today. I think you have a service that would be of great value to people, and I think if I were doing a vacation rental for any period of time, it's something that I would take a look at. All right. Thank you again time today, George.
You're welcome.
Yeah, Tom, I went online after we did this interview with George the other day and looked up because he didn't mention what the cost of his services were. $20, $30, $40. There are three tiers. So depending on, you know, how much information you want on your prospective landlord, why you could spend $20, $30, $40. So let me just ask you, you're kind of the guy on the street. You know, you're not a professional travel person. If you were going and you were renting an Airbnb, somebody, or VRBO or something like that, would you be willing to invest that kind of money to find out that information, or is that stuff that you really care about?
Well, first of all, if I put in my code that he just gave me, I save 40% right there. So already I'm thinking this is a pretty good deal. I think I could do this. But, when it comes to vacation rentals, I'd have to take a look and see whether the basic $20 plan is going to get me the information to know that it's a legitimate Airbnb. It's a legitimate rental, and find out a little bit about the people that are renting it. I think I might. And if I were looking at, let's say, renting a house, mm-hmm. or maybe making a purchase on a house, and it was a ways away in an area where I don't know anything about the area and the people, that it could come in real handy in regards to vetting out some of this stuff beforehand. I think a lot of times I would make the judgment call based on what it is I'm renting. Because there's a lot of rentals and stuff out there, mm-hmm. that aren't with Airbnb, right. And they're not vetted out by a company that has some legitimacy. You know, you might just run across it on the internet, and for sure, I would want George and his folks to check it out. So,
see, I'm
like
just
said, especially if I get the discount code.
I'm the old fashioned guy because I don't even, when relatives say, well, you know, don't rent a hotel. We've got an extra bedroom here. Just come and stay in our house. You know, there's already eight people staying there, and they have 1.5 bathrooms and 4 dogs. And so it's like, no, I think that I would be more comfortable just staying in a hotel where I have the freedom to come and go as I please. And sometimes, especially, I'm from the Midwest, so folks in the Midwest, they believe that, I don't know what it is now, but they used to believe that anything over $30 for a hotel was a ridiculous amount of money to pay. And why would you go stay in a hotel when there was a perfectly good bedroom available to you? But I've never been an Airbnb person because it would weird me out staying in someone else's house with all of their stuff and everything. Yeah. To me, that's just not, I understand to a lot of people that's, you know, really the way to travel, but to me, it's just really not. So,
well, you know, I think here again, you're a single guy, you're traveling, it's, you know, for each his own. In a situation where I traveled with a family, mm-hmm. and we went and did Christmas in San Antonio. And here again, you know, we didn't want to impose all of this on my daughter living in a small apartment. So we rented a really, really nice home, maybe 3-4 miles away from her place. And, you got to see pictures. You got to vet it out. It had a super host. It was not one of those situations where you show up and somebody else is living there. Mm-hmm. And it turned out to be just spectacular. It was a bigger and better house than the one I own. It had a fabulous kitchen and everything you need to put together a nice family dinner. It was exceptional. It was plenty of room. It was a beautiful place. We were very comfortable. We put it back just the way we found it so that it would be ready to go for whoever rented it next. So in that situation, and I think others would agree that in certain situations, they can really, really be special. It can be more than just a place to to put your head down.
Oh, I'm sure that there are folks who have found places that they have rented that they probably go back to each year and stuff like that. And I don't think that they necessarily have to be. I hear people talking about, oh, I have this little place in Pittsburgh. You know, I have to go there 3 times a year on business and stay a couple of nights. And I found this great little place right downtown that's so convenient. And so that's a place I stay every time. Way better than any hotel that I've ever stayed in the city. So it's kind of to each its own, you know. My relatives they can't understand why I would possibly. And when I explain to them that, well, you know, you have to understand, I own a travel company. I book a lot of hotel rooms for people. So oftentimes when I'm on the road and I'm staying in a hotel, I'm not paying for the hotel room. I've got these things, these miles or points or whatever that have accumulated that I can use. So it's not the same consideration as somebody who would have to pay cash. But anyways, enough of that discussion for now, I guess. The gentleman seems to have a pretty good service. Chris Elliott was the guy who discovered him and suggested that he might be, that he thought that he was pretty legit. So you can check it out. It's mysmartrenter.com. And there's a link. Remember, it's if you use that code, you'll get 40% off if you decide to enlist his services.
All righty. We are the Travel Guys. Again, travelguysradio.com, links to our special guests and more. Coming up, you know, I ran across this company that takes people to baseball games in the Bay Area, Oakland, San Francisco.
No kidding.
We're going to talk about it right after the break, right here on the Travel Guys.
He's leaving. Oh, that midnight train to Georgia.
There he goes. The mark on the midnight train to Georgia.
The red eye.
There you go. Well, we are the Travel and Entertainment Guys, Mark and Tom, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. Who are these Sports Leisure Vacations people, and what do they do? Which kind of leads us to our subject at hand. Let's go see some baseball in San Francisco or Oakland. You know, I watch the games on TV. We're not that very far away. But the thought of driving into the city in my automobile and trying to hunt down parking and negotiate all of that, and then go in and enjoy a baseball game, and then finding my way back home is just enough to keep me from not going.
No, we have an answer to all of that, my friend. For 43 seasons, companies called Sports Leisure Vacation, started out as being sports travel, has been taking people to ball games in Oakland and San Francisco. And in fact, the first one of the season is next weekend. The Giants are going to honor Buster Posey, and so we're taking a group of folks down to the Giants game next Saturday. Unfortunately, that trip is sold out. However, Giants entertain the Mets on a Wednesday later in May, the Dodgers in June and August. The Giants are honoring Will Clark at the end of July against the Cubs. There are some games in later in the season against the Braves and the Rockies that include go down to San Francisco or go down to Vallejo and get off the motor coach and get on a ferry boat and go to the ballpark, complete the trip by ferry, and then after the game you get on the bus and come back to Sacramento. So it's kind of a fun way to go to the ballpark and get a little different view. And, you know, arriving at the ballpark by ferry is really kind of fun. So we do that a couple times a year. And it's what you were talking about. You know, now there's always the traffic going to San Francisco and coming back from San Francisco. And can you have a couple of beers at the ball game and still drive home? Or would you rather that maybe you could go out and get on a motor coach and come home that way? And by the time you got home, the couple of beers you had at the ball game would have long since dissipated in your system. When we go, we have great seats at the ballpark. If you're going with us to a Giants game with Sports Leisure Vacations, our seats are generally in the lower level along the left field line. They're at the top of the section, so they are in the shade, mm-hmm. which is kind of important. If it turns out to be a not windy, warm day in San Francisco in the summer, being in the shade is a good thing. Plus, they're at the top of the section. So if you are somebody who doesn't walk real well, you don't have to do 100 steps to get to your seat. And concessions and restrooms and the exit to get out are right there. We're able to, because we have some seniors who travel with us. The Giants allow us to unload up close to the ballpark and load close to the ballpark so you don't have to walk all the way out to your car. You didn't have to pay for parking. You didn't have to pay for the tolls. It's, you know, getting tickets is a hassle. So we've got all that for you. And if you want to go to the ball game, I just will suggest to you that there aren't too many. I can't think of any better way to go than to just go out, get on the coach, head to San Francisco. We serve refreshments along the way. There are refreshments coming home, even a little kind of mini snack lunch in case you didn't get enough to eat at the ballpark. You can have a glass of wine or a beer on the way home. It's a really civilized way to go to baseball games, and we've been doing it for over 40 years. So if you go to travelguysradio.com, you can see a link to the baseball games and what there are for the season and stuff like that. Includes your transportation, your game ticket, everything is all included.
And I have been on a couple of trips with Mark and his crew. And I think one of the games we did something else in San Francisco. That was the Magic Bus we did together,
uh-huh.
which is another trip altogether.
Another story for another day. Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, and you have one of your tour guides, your tour directors are on board. They're always real cordial. They help you out. I know I have a tendency to get a little motion sickness sometimes when I travel on buses. So they gave me a good seat near the front so I could see out. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's very comfortable. And like I say, you get off right there at the entrance to the ballpark and make your way into the game. And I've done the ferry. I like the ferry, too. You know, here again, if you have motion sickness, ferries can be a bit of a problem.
You know, the reason you got that seat up close to the front of the bus there,
yeah,
was because your wife called and said, you know, if I decide that I want to get rid of him, why, give me something close to the door so that,
I revealed all my Achilles heels right there.
Yeah, well, and for special things like the Buster Posey Day, the Giants are going to retire Will Clark's number, things like that, it's a really easy way to go and see a baseball game. And like I said, we've been doing it for, gosh, I can remember games at Candlestick Park. Many years ago, we've been to World Series games and all kinds of things like that. But anyway, give us a call at Sports Leisure Vacations, and we will be happy. Or you can go online. Travel Guys Radio has a link, or sportsleisure.com, and you can check out the ball games there and see if you'd like to attend a game with us, or maybe you have some visitors coming from out of town, and they're baseball fans, and they might like to go to a ball game, but you don't want to go with them. So then that's a possibility. Hey, quick, this isn't really a travel story, but just a quick baseball story. Giants are playing as we speak and are getting their hat handed to them. A guy comes up from the minor leagues on Friday who has played, he's played over 1,100 minor league games. He's had over 4,000 minor league at-bats. I mean, that's
how many years in the minors was
12,
he?
12 years. Yeah. He comes up to the Giants because they've got all these COVID issues and some guys that are out, and he plays Friday and he plays Saturday and he doesn't get a hit, and he's playing today and he got his first major league hit. Now, can you imagine the feeling of his family's in the stands and stuff like this? This guy's in his early 30s. And this is his first time to ever get to play in the major leagues after all these years in the minor leagues. 4,000 minor league at-bats. It's just, to me, is absolutely unbelievable. Anyways, great story. We got to get out of here. Next week, the guys from the TSA will be here, and we're going to dip into the mailbag, and I'm going to say, dance like nobody's watching.
All right, my friends, thanks for joining us today. You stay well, and we'll see you next time right here on The Travel Guys. Thanks for being here.